Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. We magnify you and glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Magnify you, glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy, 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 Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. We magnify you and glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy, 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 Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Magnify you. Father, we exalt you. We praise and magnify you for who you are and what you are to us and in us and through us. We give you all the praise. Magnify you, Jesus. Magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. 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 Blessed be the Lamb forever. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb.
We're so glad to
worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Would you just give somebody a big hug next to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Lord Sabaoth, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of the army, the armies of heaven, the armies of earth. Lord, we pray and we speak this morning as the Lord of the hosts. As the Lord of the armies of the host, the captain of the host, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord Jesus will stand up in our stead. Over this city, we prophesy to the north, and we say, give up in Jesus' name. And to the south, give up. And to the east, give up. And to the west, give up in Jesus' name. Give up the harvest in the name of the Lord. Father, we pray that your host will go out, that your host of angels will go out over this region and over this city in the name of Jesus, and the power of your might will be seen. Let miracles and wonders be seen like never before since the book of Acts. Father, let there be a Holy Ghost conviction, a drawing power that will fall, Lord, like a mighty cloud over this city, like a haze that will come upon our streets and upon the regions, Father. We pray that it'll fall in this city and the region round about, in the pastures, in the groves, in the city, Lord God, every place, Lord God, that there will be a sense of conviction and love and peace and power, and God drawing the hearts of men to the extent that men are crying out, what must I do to be saved? In the name of Jesus, Lord, let your angels, let them be emptied out of heaven and emptied into this region, Lord, with glory. Let them glorify Christ. Let them minister along with us in these last days and in these last hours. Father, we worship you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. There is an army rising up, both in heaven and earth. And we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want to exhort you for just a few moments. This is not really the message part, and hopefully we'll get into that. But Olivia, could you please maybe get us ready? Would you turn with me to Philippians, and I'll find the chapter 2. It was amazing. Candy started out with Philippians this morning, and that's a place we'll go a little later after this
giving exhortation. Hallelujah. If I were to skip over to the fourth chapter, and because there's just four little chapters there, it's easy for you to look. And Paul says in the fourth chapter, he says, and this was speaking concerning giving and gifts and what he had received from the church at Philippi. He said in chapter 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how both to be abased and to how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And out of that resolve, when he was actually talking about money and finances and the supply, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless," or notwithstanding, speaking to that church at Philippi, "you did well when you did communicate," and that word communicate means to give, "with my affliction. Remembering this, that they sent him an offering while he was in the prison in Rome," and this is not, doesn't even have to be historically verified. It's verified in the very first chapter of the book of Philippians that's where he's at. He's in the prison at Rome. It speaks of the palace there and those in the palace. That was a part of where he was at. Verse 15 says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel," that's when he first began to minister to them, and you'll remember this, that in the book of Acts, Paul went to Philippi as a result of a vision that he had, and he saw a vision of a man saying, "Come over here and minister to us." He took with him his sidekick, Silas, and once they got over there, Paul preached, and they were, as a result of them preaching, they were not welcomed well, but they were beaten, and they were put in the jail, and that's when they began to praise God, and that was at Philippi, and the prison shook with the earthquake, and that whole ministry began out of there. And as a result of that, there was a tremendous relationship with Paul and Philippi for the endurance of his entire ministry. And now years later, he's at Rome, and they've sent him an offering. And he says, verse 15 again, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," and Philippi was one of the capital cities of Macedonia, "that no church communicated or gave to me or with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." And he says, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, that it may abound to your account." And he says, "I am full," or "I have all, I abound and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He said that this man Epaphroditus, that he actually brought something to him and was the communication or was the giving of the church at Philippi. And he said that this gift was actually so wonderful, not only to Paul, but it actually appeared because of love, because of their pure, pristine desire for the gospel to be preached. They knew if they gave money to Paul, he was going to preach the gospel. Even in prison, he was going to find a way. And if he got out of prison, that he was going to find a way of continuing. In chapter 2, where I ask you to go to start with, in verse 19, there's so much there that it's hard to find a scripture where to dive in at, but I'll try to dive in at 19, verse 19. Paul said this, "But I trust," he's writing, of course, to that church, "I trust in the Lord to send to you Timotheus," that's Timothy, "shortly unto you, that I also may be comforted when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me." So he had court coming up. He didn't know if he was going to die at that particular time or if he was going to be let go. But he said, "I'm going to send Timothy to you, but I first want to see how it goes with my case." Verse 24, he says, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. This man, Epaphroditus, he came from them. In other words, he was a member of that church. He came to Rome from Philippi. Verse 26, and he, that Epaphroditus, longed after you and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. So once he got to where Paul was at, he arrived there quite sick. And we find that a little bit later as we read in this next few verses. And he had heard somehow through another messenger that the church during his stay there had heard that he was really, really sick when he got there, when he got to Paul, got to Rome to deliver this gift. And it broke his heart because of his desire, or he had a heaviness on his heart because he did not want the church, the home church, feeling like overly burdened for him, worrying about him. Because they knew this about him. What they knew about him caused their heart to go into, or he thought might cause their heart, their emotions towards them to go into a place of being overly burdened or overly saddened. What did they know about him? This, the word says in verse 27, Paul confirms, he says, for indeed he was sick and even close or nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him and not only him only, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm already in prison. I'm working through this whole thing, and I sure wouldn't want the messenger that came to me to die as a result of it. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. And he says this, verse 30, because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. That word lack doesn't mean they did lessen what they were wanting to give over to him, the understanding was. And he says, because of their lack of service, he was nigh unto death. Now, today, we transfer funds. If we want to give something to someone, snail mail, you can do that. That means you write out a check, you put it in an envelope, and it gets there in a couple days. That would have been supersonic mail for those days. Now you take your smartphone device, and if you've got money in your account and you want to give somebody else, if they've got a PayPal account, in 2 minutes you can transfer X amount of dollars over to them. That wasn't the case in those days. Paul's maybe hundreds of miles away in Rome, and the church at Philippi knows that he's there. And because of their lavish desire, because they love Paul and they love his ministry, they've seen his ministry, they know that he was beaten for the gospel's sake. They watched his whole life through the years. And he was one of the first places he was beaten was right there in their own hometown. They chose to give him another offering. Paul wrote in one of the scriptures that we read there, he said, you guys just track me down wherever I went in all lessons. A couple of times when I was at Thessalonica, you sent over there to my necessity. Nobody really was communicating or giving to me, but you searched me down. You made sure because you had a giving heart. And so again, they find him at Rome and they send this guy, and there's no snail mail, there's no electronic communication. You have to actually carry, whether it was a money belt or actually probably was in the currency, probably was in coins. And so that he had to actually carry it on his person. And what we read here in chapter 2 is that this man, first of all, the church that sent him had a heart for giving. The church that sent him was a church that had such a compelling heart to give, is that they understood there was something between them and God, that when Paul received it, he said, this is not just a regular gift. This is like a praise offering that's going up before the Father. This smells good. This has a good aroma. It's going up in a sweet smell. One of the reasons why is because the man who gets to him, he says, was nigh unto death. And he says the reason why he was nigh unto death is because he was carrying out his journey or his assignment with such a seriousness, with such a sobriety. He wanted to get it there, and he wanted to get it there expeditiously. He wanted to get it there as quick as he possibly could. Now, I don't know what came on him. I don't know if he caught some kind of virus, or he went so hard that he just wore out his body and he broke down his immune system. We do know this, that Paul said because of what he was doing, it actually brought him to the point that he wasn't just sick, he was really close to death. And so Paul said, thank God he didn't die. He came with something that was worship before God, a sweet smell. Now, this speaks of a couple different things, the church body that sent him, and then the man that they chose to go. He was trustworthy. They knew they could send him. He wasn't going to spend it on himself. But this guy took it so seriously that there's somebody over there that we love that has a need, and he preaches the gospel. We want to get money over to him. And that guy took it upon himself, and he did it so much that Paul said at the end when he sent him back, I can just see Paul, he said, I sent him back the more carefully. He probably had to put his hands on his shoulder and said, look, buddy, Epaphroditus, thank you. After several months of his stay, slower. Now you're going home. They already know you got it here. But he must have went at it with such a tenacity, because inside of him there was something boiling. There was something that was on fire. What we count so precious sometimes, that if God puts it there, God put a fire in that man's heart to say, an offering is just as admirable to God at that point in time for his heart of doing anything in the world, raising the dead, doing anything. It was to get to the messenger of God something that God had laid on his heart. And he was so close to death, he wore his body out. And Paul had to say, the more carefully, go back a lot slower. Go back a lot slower. Take it easy. Rest. Maybe it took weeks for him to get there. But there's a place in our life, and it's a place called worship. And I'm finding out that many times that's so integrated with our giving. Now, he's not necessarily concerned about the amount. He's concerned about the heart. And that's why I'm glad that I am speaking to a bunch of people whose hearts, I believe, are in the right place. You desire to see the gospel preached in this region. And I believe that we are coming to, we haven't arrived there, we're coming to a place of Church of Philippi. We're coming to a church of individuals who say, wow, I would do anything I could if I heard God's voice to say, get that over to them. Now, I might not have to take a physical journey, but whatever God is saying, that's how serious I take it, as if I would be willing to spend my body, if necessary, to get the job done. How many of you believe that God counts it as worship? He really does. He really takes it as a very serious matter. We're going to give you the opportunity to give this morning, and just give whatever the Holy Spirit maybe has been speaking to you prior to coming. We mentioned last week that after much deliberation and prayer, we've accepted an invitation to go to Africa, and that will be in the middle of this summer. I'm not asking you to give towards that this morning. In fact, I'm just asking you to pray as God leads you over the next few months. It's a missionary trip. It's going to have to be totally sponsored, and it can't be sponsored out of our normal funds. It's going to be raised. We're going there not to sightsee. We're going there to work. It's going to be several days of Jim and I will be preaching 2 to 3 times a day for day after day after day. And I can hear by the itinerary, I'm going to have to be in good shape because it's going to wear me out in a good way. But we're going to be preaching to lots and lots of preachers and pastors that need to be trained in the power of God. So if God speaks to you over the next few months, besides for what you normally give on a weekly basis, that will go directly into a savings account, and it won't be touched for anything other than Africa. But you'll be sowing into Africa. I can't get there without God. God told me to go. I was like 3 months praying about it, and God finally said in a seeking time, and it just broke my heart because I saw myself there, and I saw the value of what He wanted to do. That's always important. The other thing is this. If you're not hearing things that are impossible for you to do, you're not hearing from God. If what you think is God, a lot of times is, oh, I could do that. I mean, I got the wherewithal, and I got the time, and we got the money. I could probably do that. God will ask you to do things that put you in a place where you say, I can't do this. This is totally, absolutely impossible for me to accomplish, except God does it. And God loves to put you in those positions and keep you in those positions quite often. Why? Because He loves faith. The just will live by faith. And He loves for you to totally depend on Him. So, hallelujah. That's not fun, but it is fun. Hallelujah. It is fun. Praise God. So, Father, we thank You this morning for Your love, Your goodness, Your graciousness. We thank You that You're speaking to our hearts in all these good manners. And we ask You, Lord, to speak once again. And, Lord, let the giving come forth this morning in simplicity. And we love You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There, another thing, too, is your giving reports are on the back table if you didn't have them sent to you. And please pick those up. If you can't find them, see Candy. If it's not right, see Candy. If there's something you don't like, see Candy. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's all stand one more time. We won't keep you forever today, but we do have a little bit more to share. So why don't you bring this down? You can say hi once again for just a moment, but then be seated soon thereafter. Hallelujah.
Awesome. He's creator of all the earth. I know tonight He's an awesome God. He is the ruler of the universe. Everlasting Father. Never changing power. He's unmistakably an awesome God.
Why do you believe that?
Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We're We're just going to talk for a little bit this morning and then give opportunity for prayer at the end of the service. And I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and just at the end of it, if there's anybody in here that does not speak in tongues, first let me say you're not a second-class citizen of the kingdom of heaven. If you've been born again, your Father has birthed you just like He's birthed anybody that does speak in tongues. But there's a ministry that the Holy Spirit wants to first give to you, as in coming to you, to minister to you, to begin to start a process in your life like none other. When I say like none other, only comparative to the born-again experience. That's the greatest thing that you will ever do. The second greatest thing that you'll ever do is to receive the fullness or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit has a capacity to levy on you or to give to you a language to articulate the prayers of heaven. Now, we could go into the whole thing of that this morning. Do you understand it? No. Should you understand it? No. It's for your safety that you don't understand it, because it's beyond you. There are a few cases where it should be understood. That's when it's prayed publicly, out loud, above the octaves of everybody else, and then it should be explained through the interpretation. But privately, it is the ingredients, one of the ingredients, the major ingredients to death. And when I say death, we talk about death around here with a certain value. Now, let me clarify death. We're not talking about physical death. I hope you live a very long and happy life. That's not the death we're talking about. We're not even talking about spiritual death. Once you've been born again, you've been resurrected from the spiritual death, Romans 5, to the spiritual life, which is in Christ. So we're not talking about you dying spiritually. That personification took place, that when you stepped into Christ, you know, God is timeless. He really is timeless. He can move laterally. He can move forward. He can move horizontally. So in God's timelessness, by the way, Pastor Jim Martin, or if you want to get, you know, philosophical about it, Dr. Jim Martin, he'll be here at the end of the month. He did a study on this one time, and he said, when the Word says that you were buried with Christ, the original actually bears out that in the timelessness of God, do you know really God can be like, you know, you see these movies where somebody goes back in time, or Stargate, where they can go forward or backwards. God, who is timeless, He can live in yesterday, He can live in tomorrow, He's the God of the present. But the Greek actually bears out that the Word says you were crucified with Christ, and the Word says that you were buried with Him. In God's mind, in God's ability, the moment that you get born again, you were actually there. You actually go there. It's not just a, like, God actually sees you there, dying with Christ, buried with Christ, and resurrected in the power of the born-again experience. So, as the Holy Spirit begins to move you forward, the thing that He moves you forward in, once you have life, then the last thing that He desires to do is to bring forth a dying or a death to the old nature, or not to the old nature, excuse me, the old nature has been crucified, the nature of the flesh. Now, we could go into a lot of study on that, but in simplicity, that is the self-asserted you that's still left. It's basically carried out in the enzymes of the body. It's basically carried out in the natural soul. If they go into you and do, you know, if they do a post-mortem on a body, they realize there's a brain there. That's a natural organ of the body. That natural organ has emotions in it. When you hold your child and you love that child, or you hug your wife or your girlfriend, there's emotions there. That's in that place, the cognizance of being able to get to church and drive your car without thought. How did I get here? I got here because my soul was working.
There's also self-assertion in there. That soul is living, and it's only second power to the spirit. In other words, by a man's soul, by his mind, he can do a lot. I mean, we've put men in Mars. We've put a vehicle there, but we've put men on the moon. Technology, I mean, just the soul is so powerful. They can save your life today with medicine in ways that they could not before. Communication is incredible. You know, I love the agrarian society. I love the living on the farm and this, that, and the other, but I would never go back to that with the communication that we have today, with the capacity that we have now to win the whole world through the evangelism of Jesus Christ. So the soul or the mind is very, very powerful. And God comes there to dwell in that and to renew it on a continual basis. The only thing is, it's very self-assertive. And it also has human emotions in there. And to shortcut this as much as possible, whether we realize it or not, once we're born again, we come into the lavished room of a place called the experience of the Holy Spirit, or a born-again nature, a nature that is like God's now, that has been washed. Then the Holy Spirit comes in there in a very powerful way, and He gives us a prayer language. The only thing is this is the only problem, is we're still left in a temporary body. That body, if it's not dealt with, can still have fear in it. It can still have lust in it. It can still have hatred in it. It can still have envy in it. You can truly love God, worship God, and still simultaneously, I know this sounds like a contradiction to John, and I can explain that, but it's not. You can have a love for God and yet have bitter water, according to James, still living inside of you. You can have a hatred for somebody that God wants you to, He wants you to deal with it. So what we're talking about this morning, the death that we're talking about, is not a spiritual death. It's not a physical death. It's a death or a dying process that will eventually, if we give ourselves over to allowing the Holy Spirit to work that out, it is usually that death that stands between us and faith having its full capacity in our life. It's usually in that realm, in the soul realm, or in the realms of the self-assertions of the flesh, that usually keep us from being all that we could possibly be, and God fulfilling in us our earthly ministry and our earthly call. Now, Paul understood this. He understood this from the Holy Spirit. He understood who he was in the spirit realm, but he also understood, I think it would be a misnomer to say that we have an enemy, our flesh. I think we need to understand that our flesh is not our enemy. Our flesh has been given to us by God. Emotions are wonderful. Self-assertion in the right, or asserting, being assertive in the right way is wonderful. It's powerful. You need that. But it has to be tempered. Otherwise, it can destroy your life, or otherwise it can neutralize you as a born-again believer for your entire life. Now, why I said what I said to begin with, if you don't pray in tongues, one of the most powerful ways that the Holy Spirit can get involved in your life is not just through the Word of God, but on an active daily basis of praying for you that you would die. That you would die, not physically, not spiritually, but that you would die in the realms of yieldedness. The word is yield, to be able to yield to God's complete plan for you. Now, in Romans chapter 4, or chapter 5 rather, Paul says this, therefore being justified, verse 1, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, the latter end of all of that whole thing, you've seen me do this before, that kind of branch chain that we do, okay? Tribulation comes in your life, hard times, sickness,
let's try to describe if financial, emotional difficulties, mental, you know, wars, problems in the family, problems at work, problems, and if it comes and it's not just, if it's supernatural where it's a tribulation, and for those of you that love God and are seeking to go forward in God, believe me, the enemy wants to stop you. Well, the prescription is this, or what Paul said, I love the way he says this. He says, knowing this, knowing that in tribulation it works patience. In other words, the first thing you can say worketh or employs. The very first thing that once you enter into a trial or you feel the onset of something, or maybe you're just in it, understand this, that the first person to employ, if you want to put it that way, is patience. It's the word hufomene. It just means the force of consistency, meaning I don't feel like it. I don't feel good. I don't feel like church. I don't feel like prayer. I don't feel like being nice. I don't feel like force of consistency means this. Continue the same path of direction after the tribulation comes as you were before the tribulation. Patience gives way to, in other words, patience will introduce you. Patience, you say, like, I don't know how long this thing's going to last. Well, patience says, okay, you don't know how long it's going to last. Let me turn you over to my good friend, experience. Experience is just this. It describes the better part of what I'm wanting to talk about a little bit more today is this, the experience of the Holy Ghost, or the experience. You can have an experience in the world. Experience means just a series of events or things that happen that bend or shape your thoughts and your emotions. That's an experience. The Holy Spirit wants to come in the midst of tribulation experiences and cause the mixture or the ingredients of the God-given things according to the mind of Christ to shape and bend and mold your experience so that you come out on the other side of whatever you're going through with the true mind of Christ, so that you understand it. Not that it bends and shapes you in defeat. Tribulation should not bend and shape you in defeat. It should bend and shape you with an experience that says, I know that God is God. And I know that God is my Father, and I have no fear. I had fear going into this thing. I don't know what happened to it, but someplace in it with the ingredients. And here's the beautiful part. If you mix this up with Romans 8:26, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings or words that cannot be uttered or cannot be articulate. For he that knows the mind of the Spirit or the mind of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, he makes intercession for us according to that mind. And then it says, the next verse says, and we know that as a result of that, when he's doing that, all things work together for the good of them that love God. In other words, when you're praying in tongues, the experience takes place like this. The Holy Spirit is matching the mind of Christ with the mind that he wants to place in you against the tribulation. He's also lining stuff up. It's not just what comes to you as revelation. It's not what just will dawn on you as, wow, I get it now, or what will be impregnated inside of you, but the Holy Spirit also is working all things together for our good. It means the outside things too. It's just like the ingredients of a cake. One part of it, the butter or the salt or this or the sugar, in and of itself, it's not really much of a cake. But you put it all together, mix it all together, eventually it produces something that is worth consuming. In the same way, when the Holy Spirit has the capacity to pray for you, those of you that don't pray in tongues, you're not second-class citizen. The Father will answer your prayers. He loves you just as much as he loves everybody in this room. There's an accessibility. There's an accessibility to interweave the ingredients of the Holy Spirit into everything that you're going through. That accessibility is not there when you're not praying in tongues. At least one part of it's not there. He doesn't have the opportunity. He doesn't stand angry at you. He just doesn't have the opportunity to integrate and say, okay, here's a pinch of sugar. Here's a pinch of salt. Here's this. Here's that. Here's the mixture that all is going to make all of this thing that you're going through eventually turn out perfect, just perfect. Patience gives way to experience, and experience gives way to hope. Hope is a godly expectation. The end of all of that is that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now let's go to another scripture. I'm going to try to get you out of here pretty shortly. And had some notes, but I don't know where those notes are at. So I'm going to try to figure out what scripture. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's just good to know scripture. Usually I don't have notes. The scriptures are my notes. So I was looking at Candy. I said, Candy, you have a little piece of paper before service? I was writing all that stuff down. And then I got up here and I said, I don't know where my paper's at. But it doesn't bother me because I know where I'm at. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says in verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of what? Not of us. In other words, the excellency is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not your beautiful face. It's not even your personality. It's not your good wit or your charm. That's not what the excellency of the power is. The power is of Christ. It's of God. And Paul said this. Now, I don't know if you've ever been able to relate to this, but he said this concerning his life and much of the church's life. He said, we are troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Now, I started to say, I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have ever felt like that there was more than just one thing coming against you at the time? I mean, it's just like, okay, you could just pick them out. It's okay. You're just like, I've been to the place where sometimes it kind of just, it's so overwhelming in the natural that you're trying to, after a while, you just stop trying to figure it out. You just stop trying to figure it out, and then it kind of just goes real straight and real pristine because you figure out, wow, it's just way too much for me. It's just way too much for me. That's a real happy place to get to. When you realize, this is way overwhelming otherwise. He said, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Praise God. So he had to come to those places. This is where the Holy Spirit works for us very strongly. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. That word perplexed means many. That word perplexed doesn't mean confused. It means looking at several different roads to travel or several different opportunities or just trying to say, how do I get out of this maze or where do I go from here? He said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Now, despair would be the confused part of it. He says, I mean, if you're looking there at a lot of times and you're saying, there's not just A, B, and C, there's all the way through, there's the whole alphabet of different choices. I'm not sure which way to go. And if somebody walked up to you and said, okay, mighty man of God or mighty woman of God, what do you think? What's the call? Where do we go from here? Because, you know, really, aren't we supposed to, quote, as really having it together, Holy Ghost people, aren't we supposed to always know immediately? You know, have that immediacy of, oh, yeah, I'm always way out in front. You know, I just know, you know, I know. Sometimes he says, look, you're at a point where I hadn't got it yet. What are you going to do, Pastor? I don't know. Wow, we don't know if we're going to follow you. I don't know. Is that okay? I don't know. What should we do right now? Tell me. I'm not sure. Because sometimes you're perplexed by the moment. You're like, because I don't have but one master. And for me to choose anything before he says is going to take me down a self-asserted avenue. And I've been down several of those before in my life. And they just do not produce. So there are perplexed situations where you do not know. Why don't you say this? It'll help you. It's okay for me at times not to know what to do. Amen. Okay, good. Maybe that alleviated some pressure. But we're not in despair because the natural mind will tell you if you don't have a solution, you're under confusion. No. You're under confusion if you make your own route before you know. And so you might be sitting there saying, I'm not really sure what he's saying about this, but nevertheless, the excellency of the power is not of me, so I can rest not knowing and yet not be confused. Not be confused. I don't know, but I'm not confused. Why are you not confused? Because I don't know. I'm just, it's good. I'm just resting. Persecuted but not forsaken. Paul was definitely persecuted, but he never felt forsaken. Hey, if you know that somebody's with you, you can go through anything, right? Cast down, but not. There was times where that cast down means that he was so thrown to the earth that the breath was just knocked out of him. But he was not destroyed. I don't know how many times you've ever come to different places in your life where you felt like, man, I just need to catch my breath based on what I just heard. Can I survive? Will I survive? Do you know if you back up into the peace of God, it all just kind of consumes you. The Holy Spirit will consume you. One of the tremendous benefits of praying in tongues is allowing the Holy Spirit to take you to a place where even no matter what comes in this life, you will not be destroyed. Cast down, but not destroyed. Another powerful verse or scripture is in Philippians. We're doing good. Candy started this morning with these, and it was in Philippians chapter 2, and she began to read in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of a form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal or being equal with God. I know it doesn't sound like that in the King James, but made of himself no reputation and took upon himself the form of a slave, that word is, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, if you read the context of this, not only do I believe that it is contextual, not only do I believe that it is by verse or by the actual language, the linguistics of the language bared out here, but contextually, if you read this, this is really not saying that Christ thought, let me read it so I can get it straight. Let this mind be in you. That whole thing there is one phrase, let this mind be in you. Phineo, it's the word phineo, which means to make an association with. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's not saying there that he thought that he was robbing God. But what it's saying there is this: it's not saying by his thoughts that he thought that he was equal with God, that he was robbing God. What it's saying there is this: that his taking on the form of a slave or the form of a servant, and coming to earth and being God, and then carrying out his whole role of humanity, he did not think that he himself had been robbed. He didn't think like, okay, you run into this. We've all run into this, and we've run into it ourselves. What do I get out of this? What's in it for me? That's kind of, and I don't want to be too stereotypical, but that's kind of what the whole body of Christ in the exhortation of giving that you just heard a few moments ago, that's kind of where the whole body's at. You know, like, okay, if I give, what am I going to get out of this? I mean, what's in it for me? I mean, I'm going to get the new car that I was asking God for, or the new home, or this. Listen, what you're going to get out of it more than anything else is an opportunity to win souls. That's what you're going to get out of it. And Christ, when he came into this earth, he took upon himself the form of a servant, and the word says here, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Make an association. In other words, you have to think hard on this. He says, make an association. Think like a slave. Think like he did. No matter what he went through, he did not have in his thought process, I'm being robbed. I mean, why should I be giving myself out? Why should I be giving to others when I deserve more myself? Now,
That's the self-assertion that I'm trying to get at. That's the flesh that usually stands between most people ever going into the next level where they have a real agape experience. Guess what? The Holy Spirit prays for those kinds of situations and for those kinds of things in our life. He continues on in Paul himself gives his own testimony. In the first part of chapter 3, he talks about who he was, his history, his epithet of who he was prior to the cross. But he says in verse 7 of chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And yes, doubtless I count all things for the loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And this was his so desire. This was his such desire. I desire to be found, I might read it like this, I desire to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now this he bears his sleeve. He bears his heart, rather. He bears his heart of what has made him who he is. That I may know in intimacy the Lord Jesus Christ. Know him was to say in intimacy. And the power of his resurrection. In other words, everything that Christ came forth, when he came forth in the power of the resurrection, he set us free from sin, from sickness, from disease, from poverty. All of that power was given. And he says, I want to know him in that power. Paul wasn't saying, I want to be a servant, be slid under the bus so all humanity can ride over me. That was not what he was saying. He said, I want to know him in all of this. But he says this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. When he says the power of his sufferings, the sufferings was this. Christ came to earth and he did not come to serve himself. He came to serve others. And he did not think it was robbery that the Father had asked him to serve others. Now we have a companion. His name is the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can begin to take us to a place that no matter what comes at us in our life, that it does not begin to, listen, everything that is ever sent to you is sent to make you small, to live out of yourself. You can either can get real small in your thinking, real small in your life, because self-centeredness is a real small way to go. When you want to fulfill your desires, when you're thinking about yourself all the time, listen, we want to come in here and we want the worship of God to fill this house and we want the lavishness of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I love you, I kiss you, I give you a kiss right on the lips, you're mine. But think, please, this is all for another purpose. This goes beyond you. I want those out there. I want them in here. I want them to come in here and know that they are my sons and daughters, that I paid the price. And all trials, all tribulations are to squeeze and to squeeze and make our circle smaller and smaller and smaller until all we're doing is living out of self and we're living out of how much of your thoughts on a daily basis are thinking about you, thinking about yours, your family, the particular test that you're going through, the particular trial that you're going through. The tests and trials are only there for the purpose of making you small. God makes you big. God in the expanse of the Holy Spirit makes you big. It doesn't divorce from what you're going through. It fulfills what you're going through. It makes it right. It makes it perfect. It comes into agreement with what God's mind is for that situation. But the only way that we can possibly get there is through an assertion of death or through a place of death. In a scripture that we did not read in Romans 8, that we quoted some from, it says the Spirit makes intercession. Later, Paul says, look, I am persuaded that nothing, not height, not depth, not life or death, not principalities, powers, not things present or anything to come is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But he sandwiched something in there and he said this, we are counted, As it is written, and he went back to Psalms 44, and he says, as it is written, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, we're always dying the death. We're always dying the death. And another scripture that we just read, I think one of those others, if I'd have read further, it says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And it says this, we count this, that we're dying. And I'm paraphrasing. But Paul speaks again of that dying process. Why? Because here's the thing. We've said it so many times before, but nevertheless, the truth. The more you die, physically, no. Spiritually, no. That's been taken care of. To the things of the flesh, the more you die, the more you live. The more that you can lay down your life, the more that the life of Christ lives in you. And Paul says this as we're closing in these words. He says that I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death by any means. Oh, I wish that we could read this together in the Greek. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He is not talking about there, I want to make heaven my home. I want to, when Christ comes back, I want to be the word resurrection. Had it written down, the of the dead means corpse. It basically is spelling out there a living resurrection or a living death. It's really, I could use another word, but that's kind of on those Walking Dead series and stuff, but that's not what we are. We are the walking dead, but we're alive unto God. And Paul says this, I want to be among those that are living but dead. That's what he's saying. I want to be those that are living but dead. And it just correlates so perfectly with Romans 8, with no matter what you face, the secret to getting past it is having the Holy Spirit help you die. Because usually whatever it is that the enemy uses to manipulate your life is those still remaining threads of self-preservation, self-assertion, getting real small in your thinking. Your world gets tight, and the Holy Spirit comes in there and says, look, it's far bigger than you. You're the center of my universe, but if you'll let me lavish my love on you, you'll find out that your world can be so much bigger. And Paul said this, that's what I want to be. I want to live in such a fashion that I'm dead. I'm alive, but I'm dead. I'm dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If by any means I might attain to the rest. Now, I don't know how many of you go around confessing I'm dead. But you should. I call myself dead. Because He knows, you're not going to confess into your body a cancer. The Holy Spirit's only going to fulfill what He knows your heart is in your confession. Not as though, he said, verse 12, I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which, apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now that word press, you don't have to be a Greek scholar. Go straight to the Strong's. It's not four meanings down. It's not me digging out something. It's the exact word persecute. And Paul says, look, this is what I've come to. I once was a persecutor in the flesh. Now I have become a persecutor against anything that would betray my walk with Christ. In other words, if anything begins to tamper with, and he's not talking about a mean-spirited, get out of my way, I don't have time for you, or this. He was talking about an intimacy that he had with Christ that was so strong that if something started to come that began to tamper, integrate other kinds of thoughts and emotions and begin to swerve him a little bit off track, Paul said, I press, and it was the word persecute. King James says press. It is the word persecute. In other words, I will go after. I will not let. It has an umph to it. It has a sense of no. I will not passively
let anything begin to control my life because I belong to another. His name is Jesus. And I will persecute that to its end. In other words, no matter how much it wants to stay or how much it wants to stay around me or stay in me, it will not survive because the more I die, Paul says, in essence, the more that I will live. If you're here this morning and you do not speak with tongues, this is not your last chance, so I don't want you to feel inhibited, but I do want you to know that these altars are going to be open in just a moment. I'm going to ask Harry to go and begin to just worship with us. We can all spend just a few more moments in this building. If you're here this morning and you do not pray in tongues, it's like Dave always says, it's because you're not up here. Everybody we pray for gets filled, and that's not a brag of ours. It's just when we believe, we touch you, we pray for you, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you. What will that mean for my life? Is it spooky spiritual? Absolutely not. This beautiful young lady and ladies, they came from a good fundamentalist church not too far from here several years ago. And were you scared 4 years ago? Were you scared when you came in here? Yes, 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 yes. You felt like you were in the midst of aliens. Yeah. But they were making noises, she said, that she was not accustomed to. And now, you know what? If you hang around a slippery slope too long, you just slide. It wasn't long before the whole family became aliens, right? It was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. And so they're just part of the aliens. We're a bunch of aliens here. Nanu, nanu. You know? So we don't know always what we're speaking, but the life that's in it, it'll help you. It takes your smallness and makes it big. It'll help you in all those areas where you're trying to be a better daddy, a better mommy, a better person. If you do pray in tongues, but you've not prayed in tongues for a while and it's very hard for you, we're going to please remove this. If there's just one, this whole thing was for you. And the beautiful part about it is it's spiritual, but it's very applicable. You can use it all the time. You can sit this afternoon and pray in tongues. You can sit and watch the Super Bowl praying in tongues. Now, you can't curse while you're praying in tongues. If you do, you'll get convicted right away. But it's not some real weird thing out there. It's like if I gave you my watch that's up there and I said, here, this is yours. I wouldn't mind giving it to you because it's a little Walmart $5 special. No. If I gave that to you and you walked away with it, if you called me at 12 o'clock in the night and said, Pastor, can I look at my watch? I'd say, are you crazy? I'd say, I gave that to you. You can use it for any time at all purposes. And that's what happens in the Holy Spirit. You don't just use Him when you come to church. You can use that language 24/7, all times. And so we're going to worship. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We just give you the glory. Why don't you just begin to talk to your Father and my Father, your Father. Just give Him praise. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. You're so beautiful, Jesus. You're so beautiful, Jesus. You've given us this language that is so pertinent to our life. It fulfills our life. It can make us bigger than who we are and what we are alone. But we're not alone. So I'm asking you right now that if there's anyone in here that does not speak in tongues, or if anyone has spoken in tongues and somehow they've been convinced that, Lord, you're not there for them for that purpose as strong as you once were, Lord, you can reconvince them that this language, this gift is truly that, a gift that can be used 24/7. And so, Father, we're just asking for that purpose to be fulfilled right now in the power of the Holy Spirit to be made manifest. As we just continue to worship, as everybody's just kind of just, let's just continue to stay in this place of worship. If you're here this morning and you would like for me to pray for you, it won't take maybe 3 minutes, 5 minutes at the most. If you want to be prayed for the gift, just come and stand. Anybody would like prayer for the gift? Praise God. Everybody in here once did this once. So it's just, it's very simple. You're probably thinking, what if I don't get it? We'll make you get it. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be so simple. In about 2 minutes, you'll be praying in tongues. So come on, anybody even having a problem with it? Hallelujah. It's yours. I should charge everybody in here $1,000 just for this application, but today's special low price is for free. Because it's Super Bowl Sunday, I'm going to give you this opportunity. You can pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Oh, the Lord is saying, I'm coming. I want to minister to you in every way. Open up your life. Open up your life to me. I'll take away the hidden parts, all the dark parts. I'll come to you, and you alone, you'll know me. What a love affair we'll have together in this place. I'll visit you. Your sleep shall be sweet when I visit you. Oh, how I love you with an everlasting love. Far beyond your imagination, how I long for you in these days. No crediano, me cresce le brondo. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that fear is leaving. Anxiety is replaced by peace. Weakness is replaced with strength. It comes from some place we cannot describe. I see the things that make you what you are. I see the things from childhood that scarred you. I see the things that bent you like you are. Let me straighten you with my love from afar. Let it come near to you. Let it appear to you. Maridialamoso.
delle marrosse. Oh, hallelujah, many things that you've blocked out of your mind through fear, I'll not bring them up again, but I'll wash them from you. I have a place where I place all unwanted, everything that's against you, every thought, every emotion. I have a deep, deep sea in me that I place all these things in, and I replace them in you with a river that flows from my throne, with a life that comes from my very being. Olama Christe, De crodere branto Christe, Do credie paraso. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now let the grace of our God, the power of His Holy Spirit, the very Lamb, rest upon the lives of these. Let their homes, their marriages, their children, the singles, Father, envelop their life, fill their threshold of their house. As they walk in their doors, let their lintels be covered with the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the threshold be covered with glory. Let every room be saturated with presence, power, and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. Pull us out from where we're at, and make us who we are called to be. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. Hallelujah. Don't you love the way that God does stuff? We've got the cookie cutter, you know. God just takes it, and because we got to have, and it's got to be a certain way, you know. We got to invite them to church, or we got to go and share the gospel with them a certain way, pass out a track, and I love tracks, or we've got like our steps to get somebody saved in our mind. And God says, okay, here's your cookie cutter. Let me just grind it to bits. Just how many different ways can He go after our loved ones? Hallelujah. So let God be God. And we've had a good time. Amen. And besides for that, let me just say a little bit about the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues in that cookie cutter, grind it to bits kind of. You who don't or haven't yet, you don't need my prayer. You don't have to now. They waited one time initially. That initial is over. That was the day of Pentecost when they had to receive. It had to initially hit the earth. He, the Holy Spirit. After that, the church was unleashed. The gloves were off, the church was unleashed, and Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's like the wind that covers, it's just like the law of gravity. Anybody can be saved at any time without anybody, I mean, if they get the revelation and say, Jesus, come into my life, same way with the Holy Spirit. You do not have to have hands laid on you, you do not have to be in church. If you just
if you feel like this experimental thing comes on you, like I'm just laying here in the dark, and what if I was to start moving my lips and believe that God would take me over? I can promise you, if you have that simple faith, it will not be you, and it sure won't be no ding-dong devil. If you'll just start, say, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you. I believe that you want to fill me up, Holy Spirit. And then you have to just move your lips and let breath come out of your... Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we say, well, I'm afraid I'll be in the flesh. We live in the flesh most of the time, and that doesn't fear, that doesn't make it... All of us included, we live half our lives in the flesh, but we don't, I mean, half the stuff we do is in the flesh. That's the least flesh thing that you can possibly be worried about, is making a mistake about doing something like that. So just give it a shot. Jump off the cliff to see what happens. Praise God. We love you. We thank you for coming. Have a wonderful week. You can sit here, and we're just going to, you don't have to rush out. The saturation of the Holy Spirit is still here. And he'll continue to play, or we'll have something. But God bless you. We will see many of you Wednesday. Have a great day. Enjoy the day. Whatever you do, enjoy it in Christ. Hallelujah. I love you. Candy loves you. And we will see you soon. Amen.
He's truly awesome.